You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. I've barely gotten control of my laughter because right before Maddie O hit record, Geoff just gave it a little, let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
I was laughing through the whole intro jingle. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Guys, so much has happened since we talked to Cluster Johnson and put that episode out on Monday of last week. First and foremost, thanks to everyone who voted for the Common Fans in Michael Severe's bracket challenge. Yes. That was so much fun. We need to send Michael a thank you just for, like, that was so much fun.
That was awesome.
Michael, for those who don't know, Michael Severe did a bracket challenge of local, it was 32 teams to start. 32, I guess, Nebraska and Creighton mainly focused podcasts. And the winner was decided by, every round was decided by Twitter polls. And so your Common Fans got all the way to the final four.
Final four, baby. We're hanging a banner.
Yeah. So super
fun,
super excited. In the process, we took down the Pick Six podcast, the Omaha World Herald, and we took down the Nick Baugh podcast, 50.3% to 49.7%.
Every damn vote matter. Every damn vote.
Don't ever let anyone tell you your vote doesn't matter, because the Common Fans have proven otherwise.
That's right.
So tons of fun, like, and just super awesome to have gotten to the final four. I mean, as I told many people, it's, as a 43-year-old man, it's slightly embarrassing how much I allowed myself to care about that little Twitter competition.
I would dedicate mornings when I should have probably been doing more work to campaigning and shamelessly asking for votes from extended family members that I haven't talked to in probably a decade. So it was great. So kudos to us for shamelessly begging for votes left and right.
Like the long lost cousin. Hey, love the Christmas card. If you're on Twitter, could you vote for us? I know we haven't talked in 10 years, but
I had an example. Great Aunt Hortense. Do you have Twitter? Oh, you don't. You don't know what that is. Is there a nurse there that could maybe help you?
Let me get on the phone with the staff there.
I need to be careful.
You have someone from the staff help you vote.
This might fall into the category of ageism or something like that, where we're taking elder abuse, advantage.
All you need is a vote button. You just need an email address or a phone number to sign up for Twitter. Do you want me to help you with that?
Oh, yeah. Can I just say, though, like, so cool to even be involved in that, you know, like, from where we've only been doing this thing for what, 2.5 years ish?
2.5 years.
Like, to have, like, I know TJ, you've listened to Pick Six for a long time. I've listened to Schick and Nick and Nick Baugh for a really long time. So to be included in that, and then to face off against some of those guys, and in a couple of cases beat them. And that, and let's just put it out there. No one's saying that we're a better podcast. This is an internet poll voting.
We're saying that.
Well, I'm trying to be PC here. I'm trying to be a gracious winner here, sportsmanlike. But just so cool to be included in that, involved in, and to make it as far as we did, obviously, was really awesome. So
that's a great call, Matteo. And again, just thanks to all that. We love this Common Fan community that so many of you are a part of, and you listen regularly, and you email us and comment on YouTube and follow us on Twitter and all those things. This is like what, you know, relatively speaking, Matteo, you're exactly right. Like, you know, the Pick Six podcast, that's all the World Herald guys. Nick Baugh obviously has a huge following. I will also point out, we were the ones that get close. We lost to Schick and Nick, And they were the ultimate eventual champions. We played them closer than anybody else.
Damn right we did.
And with about an hour or two to go, we had pulled within 52-48. And so we just couldn't get over the hump. Yeah. But the point being, like, obviously those guys are all big deals and they all have huge platforms. And we know we're not on that level. But in doing this, we wanted to be part of this Husker fan ecosystem and contribute to it in a way that people enjoyed and was meaningful for people. And I feel like we've done that. And that's like entirely due to all of you who listen regularly and engage with us regularly. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
Goosebumps. I got goosebumps now, just the way you just said that. Like we are in part of the ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, I thought every time I spoke, I gave you goosebumps.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not uncommon. Not uncommon.
Yeah. Not uncommon for the common fans. So great stuff there. And then I hung out with Fernando Mendoza yesterday, if anybody cares.
Oh, Heisman, did you now?
Heisman Trophy winner.
let's not embellish here.
Fernando and I spoke.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're not sitting there having beers with the guy.
How do you know? That doesn't strike me as a beer drinker anyways.
I don't think he probably is. I was traveling for work yesterday, Common Fans. We're recording this on Tuesday, March 17th. Happy St. Patty's Day, by the way. That's why Jeff's wearing this stupid Notre Dame stuff.
We're going to do a poll of our favorite Irish players at the end of today's podcast.
No, we're not.
Stick around to the very end, guys.
No, we're not. Well, I was traveling yesterday, Monday, March 15th, and I was I had meetings in Anaheim, and I was at the Orange County Airport. And he was sitting probably 5 feet from me, and I didn't even realize it. I was watching Better Call Saul on my phone. And somebody, and his back is to me, but he's got these Indiana headphones on, but whatever, like Indiana just won the national title. Like anybody could be wearing Indiana headphones. They were super cool though. And some young adult comes up to him and he's like, my brother is a huge fan of yours. Could you just talk to him really quick? And he had him on FaceTime. And then like more people kept coming up to get autographs or not autographs, but pictures or like, I mean, multiple times I heard like, my buddy is a huge fan of yours. Could you just record a video to, you know, Trent or whatever? Sure. And I started thinking like, are you really Trent? Are you trying to get this video for yourself? Is that what's
totally
going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then he got up all this time I'm behind him and I'm like, who else Indiana just won the Natty, but like, who else would garner this level of recognition but Fernando Mendoza? So then he got up and walked away and he turned around and looked back and sure enough, it was Fernando Mendoza. And I was like, dang it, that's the Heisman Trophy winner. I could have gotten a picture or something. And then as it turned out, he was on my flight. And so he comes and we're standing next to each other in line. So I got a picture with him. And then he sat one row in front of me during the flight. And I left him alone. I left him alone for the most part. I shared the pic with you guys. I did get him to record about a 10-second video to Michael Hudson and Charlotte. Super nice guy. Everything you hear about him is true. Super gracious. He even made a comment, a couple of us standing with him in line were kind of like, man, does this kind of stuff get old? And he's like, no, not at all. Like what a great opportunity for me to like help make somebody else's day. Like just like
that's awesome.
I would have been like, can people leave me alone? You know? Yeah. Like yeah. So really, really cool. We should probably post that picture on Twitter, but we don't need to do that.
No, we don't.
Well, obviously he's coming on the pod, so we can talk to him about, we'll ask his permission when he's doing it.
I mean, that's what I was kind of like, do I ask for an autograph for my boys or do I try to get him on the Common Fan podcast? But then I thought to myself, we've already had Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Rogers. So
that's right.
Who cares about Fernando Mendoza? No, just kidding, Fernando. Right. We love you. No, honestly, like fan for life now, like he's probably going to go to the Raiders and like we'll definitely be paying attention and pulling for him and whatever. Like just super, super down to earth, nice guy.
That's awesome, dude.
And he helped keep the national championship in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Was he traveling alone? Was he solo?
He's traveling alone. He had like shorts on, you know. I was connecting through Portland to come home to Bend, and he was going to Portland. So my wife and I were speculating this morning, like maybe he's going to meet with like Nike or Adidas or something like that.
Adidas is up there too.
Yes.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that. I'm just a common fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, super cool to meet Mr. Heisman Trophy.
Anybody else meet any cool people?
He's big. He's tall, super tall. And
what are we talking here? 6'5"?
Probably at least 6'5". I'm about 6'3". And he was at least, if you guys saw the picture, what, 2-3 inches taller than me?
A tall young man.
Yeah. And he was really nice. Like I gave him some tips on his mechanics and his throwing motion. And he like seemed really, really open to it. So super nice. Listen, Fernando, on the 3-step cup. Now watch me now. Watch that. 1, 2, 3.
Listen, Fernando, on your play action fake, I noticed something that you do. <Yeah.
laughs> let's run it together here, and we can I'll play
sir,
this out.
You're
for
calling
you.
People out, sir. We need a blitzing linebacker. Can you come help us out, please?
Ma'am, can you step out of the way there? Get your walker out of the way. Sorry. just kidding. So a lot happening. Great reception to our Cluster Johnson episode. I think people really appreciate, he was really candid with us, which I think
was
super cool, and people appreciate it. And we're going to have Cluster back. I think.
I was going to say, I've received some feedback from some common fans. They want more from Cluster Johnson. They liked what they heard there. They want more. They're salivating. Yep. So we got to get him back.
Well, he's a friend of the program now. So we will have him back.
Yes, indeed.
And then, guys, let's get to the meat of this episode. And this also has come out since we last recorded. FanDuel put out their, I don't even know what you call it, Mattio. It's not a betting line. It's a win total. Win total projection.
Over under win total. Yeah.
Yeah. The over under win total. Thank you. I knew the gambler would know.
Yeah.
The over under
Rogers.
The over under win total for football this season, and Nebraska started at 5.5.
Oof.
And I think I think a lot of people took the over, and so that's since bumped up to 6.5.
Yeah,
which I think is probably a much tougher bet, honestly, for people. Like,
uh-huh.
I think you could envision a scenario where they cobble together 6 wins, but that generated, I feel like, a lot of conversation in the Husker Twitterverse and sort of the Husker ecosystem landscape, whatever you want to call it. Part of the reason for that, guys, is there's been a lot of years where we didn't hit the over.
Mm-hmm. It's been since 2016.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. We haven't
hit the over since 2016?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the last 2 years, so even
though— are you all right?
Well, is the bowl game included in that, or is that just 12 games?
It's just regular season. Right. So, like, last year we placed our bet at, I think it was 7.5, and we went to the down to the very last game, and we didn't get that 8th win.
And so, I'm guessing in 2024 it was 6.5, right? And
we finished
6-6, and then we won the bowl game to get to 7.
Yeah. So,
woof. And then every year before that since 2016 was a losing season. So
yeah,
vomit.
Yeah,
yeah,
not good.
So I have some thoughts on this, but like initial take, guys, on the whole 5.5 thing, 6.5 thing.
Well, mine is I think, you know, there's a couple of things I think going into that. So the schedule, number one, schedule's tough. We've talked about it a lot, right? And then what we just said, like the fact that we haven't hit our win total, you know, in that long, it's kind of like, you know, and it's probably more where it should be right now. If it's at 6.5, like that's a way tougher bet, like you just said, than 5.5. Like 5.5, it's like, oh, they just get to 6, and you know, that seems reasonable, right? But now you're looking at 6.5, and they've got to win 7 for you to win your bet. That's a little bit more like, I don't know. Yeah. But I think it does also speak to just kind of lower expectations. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, and we'll get into this in more detail, but I'm kind of in the, like, trying to be positive and in the camp of like, hey, maybe it's okay if we have way lower expectations than we usually do. We've won, I don't know how many offseason titles in a row with huge, you know, expectations going into the fall. Maybe it's okay that there's not a lot of buzz this spring. And maybe it's okay that the basketball team has kind of distracted people. I don't know. It can go either way. Like, because part of me also says, like, gosh, that's not very good that nobody's talking about spring ball right now. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of new faces. There's a lot to be interested in and get excited about. But you know, it's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. It's an interesting point, Matty-O. It sort of felt like the juice would never run out for Husker Nation when it came to winning off-season national championships and talking ourselves into this is the year. You know, back to a point we've made many times. I don't think Husker fans are as delusional as every other fan base thinks we are. I don't think anyone in the last 15 years was saying we're going 12-0 and winning the national title, except me and Matt. I do think there's been a lot of this is the year we get over the hump. This is the year we compete for a conference title. This is the year we get back to 10 wins, whatever. I do think, and this is really not predictive of anything that's going to happen this fall. It's officially official, and we've already talked about like the steam is not there on the off-season hype train. And to your point, Matty-O, I think that's fine. I think everyone's exhausted with, we've talked, you know, going to that well emotionally over and over and over and believing over and over and over. And then what you see on the field, like the product that you see with your eyes, not matching what you expected. Right. And so to your point, Matty-O, I think that's good. Just if for no other reason than just let this team go to work, let them do their business, take care of business in spring ball and summer conditioning and fall camp. And it's just like nobody needs to talk about them right now. That's fine. That's fine. Geoff, are you going to say something there?
Yeah. So my main takeaway from that is that it's not shocking. Owen's already brought up the schedule. We've beaten that to death. We know it's going to be a tough one. But to be honest, too, with this team, we just don't know a whole heck of a lot about them right now. You know, we've got a lot of new faces, a lot of transfers coming in, new coordinators. I just think a lot of people just don't know what to expect. And so that's probably why that number is so low. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll even go the Seinfeld route of just even saying, kind of like George Costanza, just it's the opposite effect, guys. If everything an instinct that we have as Husker fans is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right. So let's just lower those expectations. Instead of hyping things up, let's go the opposite direction. I'm even a fan of just saying this season's going to suck. We're going to be terrible this year, you guys. We're going to be terrible. Maybe it's going to have the opposite effect that we're going to, you know, knock it out of the park this season.
Talk
shit about the Huskers. I think that might work. Talk shit about them. It might work. That might launch us into the stratosphere in a positive win total. Let's go.
You are our resident George Costanza. So
I am,
maybe this will work. Yeah.
I think we're going to put that on you. If you want to be that guy, I'm fine with that. I am incapable. I can't do that. No, look, I can't do that with like my professional teams either. Like I know the St. Louis Cardinals are going to have a rough season this year.
They're very young. Are they going to field the team this year?
I can't, but I have to have some sort of positivity and just, okay, maybe we can get to 500. Okay. I can't live in the world of like the fans that like put the paper bag over their head. Like I, unless it gets real, real bad, I don't see it getting that bad though, to the point where like I'm in the camp of like, we suck. It's never going to get better.
Even
like,
if you don't believe it, just try and will that. Just take that negative energy. I can't do it.
I want to win. I'm a competitor. And and with that, I'm a glasses half full optimist kind of guy.
Mm. Well, I was thinking about this, Matty-O. We've talked at length about how we're in prove it mode. Everybody's kind of salty with the way the season ended. The fan base is frustrated, whatever. But even with that, like I'm hoping to God that they prove it. You know what I'm saying? Like every game, even against Indiana and Ohio State and Oregon, I'm going to hope to God that we can find a way to win it. Right. So like, even with, you know, expectations maybe shifting a little bit or at least everyone like guarding their hearts a little bit. But the hope is still there, right? I mean, I think that's why, you know, Tom Schutel has said Nebraska fans are undefeated against apathy. And I think come August, we are all going to be ready to go there again, right?
Yeah.
And to dive in again and to commit again. Maybe we won't quite let ourselves believe it'll be as good as we want it to be, but we're going to hope. We're going to hope it is.
Now, in my experience, anything I want to happen never happens. So I have to go the opposite direction because the football gods are always shoving it in my face. So if I say hey, Huskers, lose this game, the football gods are going to be like, you know what, Jeff?
Like,
they're going to win this freaking game.
Like,
Jeff,
Jeff,
you should do that for Notre Dame too this year. You should, you know, because Notre Dame's going to really suck. Hey, I'll do it
terrible.
For you.
They're going to be terrible,
I'll do it
you
for
guys.
You. Notre Dame terrible. Is going to be so damn bad this year. They're going to suck.
I agree. They're going to suck ass.
So bad.
They are going to suck ass. You hear that, football gods? They're going to suck. They're not going to win any games.
So, like, Notre Dame broke your heart when they were huge cowards and decided not to play in a bowl game?
No, of course not. That was the hero's journey right there. They took a stand.
The hero's journey.
They took a stand for everyone.
All right. Shut up. Stop talking about Notre Dame. All right. Jeff has got me backstage. All right. So recalibrating here. So I think what's interesting about this conversation is, or I guess what this leads, this is the next step to this conversation about 5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins, whatever it might be. I go back and listen to every one of our episodes, which they say you should do, because when we're recording, especially when we have a guest, I'm looking at up a stat or you guys are we're texting mm-hmm. about who's going to ask what, or should we shift gears, change the subject, whatever kind of thing. So I like to go back and listen to what the guests actually said. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally misspoke there. Like I said the wrong year or remembered something wrong or something. And I had no recollection or no realization in the moment. That's just how it goes sometimes. Anyway, so it's just good to like critique yourself too and make sure we don't suck. So I went back, I think it was Gary Sharp. I was a little behind and I listened to a bunch of our episodes in a row, who said, Matt Rhule needs a Fred Hoiberg season.
That's a good point.
I think that's a really good season. And there's no time like the present, gents. But if you think about Hoiberg, Nebraska basketball was picked to finish. I just looked this up. The preseason media poll had Nebraska at 14th out of 18. Mm-hmm. And they finished second in the conference. And they had wins over Illinois, Michigan State. Who am I missing? Was there another? There was at least one more big one in there, wasn't there?
We played hard.
Oh, beat Ohio State on the road.
That's Ohio State beat Indiana, beat Iowa, like beat some. They had like eight tier one wins or nine tier one wins, whatever it was. It's not a basketball pod.
At least quad one.
Is that what I oh, see there? I meant quad one.
We'll look at that later.
They played Michigan really well. They played Purdue really well one time. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a really fascinating thought experiment for like from a few different angles. So the first one is nothing would help Matt, like the fan base more and Matt Rhule's trajectory as Nebraska's head coach more than to drastically exceed expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think if you wanted to compare it to Fred's season, at least 8 wins, maybe 9, right? I mean, you'd really have to beat probably 2 of the 3 among Iowa, Illinois, and Washington, and probably 1 of Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon. I think people would be through the roof if we did that and then took care of business against the teams we're supposed to beat. And anything more than that, I think people are just ecstatic, right?
Sure.
I think thinking about that would totally reset everything for Matt Rhule, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But also thinking about the opposite of that, I think six and six or worse, and he's on the hot seat.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that means he's coaching for his job in 2027. I think that maybe the seat is warm in 2027, right? 7-5, everyone is pissed off. Even if 7-5, they could be a markedly better team and be 7-5 again because the schedule is so much tougher. I think everyone's just kind of annoyed and irritated and pissed off and wondering if we're going to be 7-5 for the rest of our, for the rest of our lives. 8-4 or better, and then especially if you go and win the bowl game, I think people are through the roof, like we just said. 6-6 or worse, and not only is that the opposite of what Fred Hoiberg did, but I think your seat is really warming up then.
Yeah.
I think he already knows that too. Like you've noticed, like, this offseason has just been pretty quiet. And I don't just want to say it's because basketball has distracted us. We just haven't heard a lot from the football team, to be quite honest with you. It's not the same as it used to be with tweets, being in front of the camera, podcasts. I think Matt Rhule understands that. I think Matt Rhule knows that he needs to have a Fred Hoiberg season or a like a women's basketball season or a volleyball season or a softball season. He has to know that every other sport around him right now is outperforming probably where they typically should be, except for volleyball. And he knows that he's kind of the one lagging behind. So I think he gets that. And I think that's why we're kind of seeing Nebraska fly under the radar here. He knows that he needs to have a Hoiberg season himself.
But it also this discussion of, you know, comparing Fred to Matt and basketball to football,
right.
Like this season to me kind of started 2 or 3 years ago. Like Fred was kind of flailing in the wind for his first three and a half seasons.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
It took like some experienced guys kind of coming together. If you recall, they were like 9-16 or something a few years ago until like Sam Greasel and Derek Walker started winning some games. I think they maybe finished that year like 16-16 or something.
The 500. Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
And then like the next year, I think they made the tournament.
Yep.
And then last year we didn't make the tournament, but we won the crown. Like it started a few years ago to me. And it started with Fred, I think, understanding more what his team needed to be.
Yes.
And how he needed to approach that and how he needed to coach them.
And how they needed to play in the Big Ten.
Yes. So like, should we give the same grace and patience and time to Matt Rhule? Or is this a different animal? Like football has historically been the cash cow here, right? Like basketball was kind of like, well, if they're playing hard and we're doing okay, when we're just not a basketball school, so who cares? Like, or is it like, no.
I like that voice, by the way.
We hold it. Thanks. It's kind of sound like Ed, the You Stop Handyman. I don't know if anybody, it's a blast from the past for the Lincolnites. But no, do we, like, I know it's probably different. And the answer is like, no, football's held to a different standard. But sure. Is there a message in there? Like Fred's in year 7 and we're a 4 seed in Oklahoma City, right? Like, should we just take a step back and be like, okay, we made it to a couple bowl games in a row. Yes. That's, next year's schedule's tough. Do we need to just chill out?
Mm-hmm. Couple bowl games is like maybe the equivalent of Fred getting back to the tournament. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then last year, felt like a big disappointment in basketball.
It did, because until they won the damn crown.
Right. But even then, like, it felt like they really only needed to win about one of their last 5 games, and they didn't win any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't make the tournament and flailed out to end the year. Like, another disappointment, another gut punch for Nebraska's fan base. Yes, the crown helped salvage some of that.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that's a great point, Mattio. Like, this was like the definition of a breakthrough season for Fred's team. And it took 7 years. There's been a lot of talk about usually winning coaches in college football figure it out by year 3. So there's not a lot of historical evidence that giving someone 6 or 7 years, like suddenly they will then finally figure it out in year 7 in college football. But Rhule's got his past. He's got what he did at Temple and Baylor, that we can go off of. And also, it is like college football is a different game even than when Rhule was at his most recent stop before this, which is Baylor. But there's probably also, if you went back and looked at basketball, there's probably not a lot of evidence that coaches are going to figure it out. Like, if you looked at Fred's trajectory, it was like, okay, they got better the last maybe, let's say, 3 years, but better for better for Nebraska basketball is usually like they're in like the top 50, you know, like right. They're somewhere over 500 and
hovering around the bubble
on like the bubble
or the last the, yeah. four in or the first four out. That's
right.
Where we usually expect to be. Right.
And I think the point you point out, Mattio, is a key distinction, which is our history with football and our expectations with football and the fact that we're a blue blood. And so honestly, everyone would be elated with 8-4 or 9-3. I don't think the expectation should be that's good enough ever.
Right.
And I know like it's a new age and everyone's probably going to have more losses. Like you can make the playoff with a loss or two. Conferences are expanding. Who the hell knows what the future is going to hold? The days of teams going 12-0 every year, world without end, amen, is probably, you know, going to be less and less likely.
Yeah,
but I don't think we should be happy with 8-4. Again, like in 2026, I'll be thrilled with 8-4.
Yeah,
right. But in terms of our long term expectations, part of what makes Nebraska great is this fans that keep showing up and selling out the stadium and demanding that if this guy won't do it, can't do it, then we bring in somebody else who can. Mm-hmm. It's that constant balance of are we delusional based on 1962 through 2001 or whatever time frame you want to use, 70s, 80s, and 90s? Are we delusional because we had so much success? Or do those expectations based on historical greatness, do those differentiate us as a program?
Right.
That's an interesting question. Have those expectations helped us or hurt us more in the last 20 years or in the post Osborne era?
I would say hurt for sure.
Think so?
Because yeah, absolutely they have, because it's proven like there is no patience anymore. I mean, I know college football has changed, but since we reached that mountaintop that we always talk about, things have never quite been the same and not even close at this point. Part of that just has to do with the expectation level set so astronomically high now that you're already saying it. Like if next season's not good enough, or this season you'll take 8 wins, but next season you're already saying that's not going to be good enough next season. We're already setting expectations too high following 2026. So damn right, it's definitely a deterrent. Doesn't help us at this point, I don't think.
I think it's double-edged. I mean, but over the last 20 years, I think Nebraska as a football program has gotten a bad reputation. And maybe rightfully so. I mean, we fired Solich after 9 wins. We fired Pelini after 9 wins. We fired Callahan a year removed from a conference title game. You know, it's kind of like when we get to 8 or 9, like if Matt Rhule wins 8 or 9 games in one of the next 2 or 3 seasons, and then 2 or 3 seasons after that, we're still winning 8 or 9, and we're sitting here going, he's not getting the job done. We win 8 or 9 every year. This isn't good enough. Like,
get him out.
I think that is more hurtful to us if we fired somebody again for doing that than if I don't know.
That's interesting.
It's a double-edged sword. It's not, I don't think there's any right or wrong, but like it has failed us. Part of it is because the guy that we brought in was not the right choice.
That's what I was going to say. So have we failed time and again because we have these expectations and we fire coaches after they don't do as well as we think they should? Mm-hmm. Or is it because the dysfunction that we talked about the dysfunction at the administrative level, the dysfunction in the athletic department, and making the wrong choices when it came to hiring coaches? Mike Riley was a bad fit for Nebraska. I don't care what he's done before or since, he was a bad fit for Nebraska. Bill Callahan, and some have argued, you know, he's one of the ones who could have worked with more time. Although we concluded on our reckoning episode, he would not have. But culture wise, personality wise, understanding the place, he was a bad fit for Nebraska. So is it those expectations that led to coaches getting fired when maybe they deserved to, maybe they didn't? Pelini comes to mind as one who maybe didn't. Solich maybe didn't. But is it those expectations, or is it simply if we had gone and got Bob Stoops or Urban Meyer or whatever, you know, whoever, it's Kurt Cignetti, whoever was available in the windows when we were firing coaches or thinking about firing coaches, maybe it's a different story. And maybe we're right back to the top. And like somebody just made the point on one of our recent episodes, Matty O, I think it was you. Everyone's had down periods, but it feels like no one's had one as long as Nebraska.
No, yeah. That's the longest drought for sure.
In terms of the blue bloods of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's a really fascinating argument. I'd love to hear from Common fans about this. So comment on YouTube, send us an email, commonfangbr@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter, @commonfangbr. There are things about it that are not helpful or healthy, probably. Right. Mm-hmm. There are things about the fan obsession and the fan expectations that are probably not helpful. Devaney was able to manage it. That's a different universe. T.O. was able to manage it. I think he felt the white hot light of the spotlight, you know, and in ways that probably gave him ulcers, but he was able to manage it. I think it's been detrimental to other coaches who have been in that seat ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
And this is not the time for this, but I kind of think the Riley hire after Pelini was what kind of derailed. Like,
yes,
things were going pretty well with Pelini. Did we get sick of his antics and his anger and all that crap? Yeah, at a certain level. But then to go from winning 9 a year to then hire Mike Riley, I think is like where it went horribly. And then when you fire Riley and you bring in a guy who's basically coached what, 2-3 seasons of college, major college football, and Scott Frost, like they needed to hire a way more experienced guy. And granted, we've talked about this. Everybody has. He's the only guy we could have hired. He's the only guy Bill Moose could have hired for everyone to be happy. But what really needed to happen was somebody with a hell of a lot more experience to come in and kind of right the ship.
We made that point before, I think, but it's so spot on Osmond retires, Solis takes over, we win a conference title, we play for the Natty, we're pretty much usually in the top 25, we're still Nebraska. At Callahan, he played for a conference title, he had us ranked, but had a couple losing seasons. We were not used to that at all.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 losing seasons. Yeah.
And then Pelini takes over, always wins 9 or 10 games. We're pretty much, again, we're back to where Pelini played for 3 conference titles. We're usually in the top 25, probably closer to the top 15. And it felt like, okay, Nebraska's still one of the big boys. Yeah. And so there wasn't really discussion about Nebraska being down at all or anything like that. So I agree. But it was so critical to get that post-Pelini hire right.
Right.
I think it was so critical to not just maintain what Bo had done, but ideally build on it. And we went the complete opposite direction, and we really haven't recovered since.
I think Cluster Johnson wasn't he high on Riley in our interview with him? I think he liked Riley, if I remember correctly.
That could have been interpreted different ways, Jeff.
I think he liked him. I think he did. If you want to turn this full circle, let's go back to Rule wanting to have a Hoiberg season. I guess the only thing that we can really, does Matt Rule have a son that's eligible to play football for Nebraska and set records and be awesome, right? Because, and his name could be Sam Rule, if you see where I'm going with it.
I'm going to pause you. He really does have a son.
I'm pretty sure he's college age.
Okay, we need to get him here, okay?
Let's get him an NIL deal.
Let's get him here. Clearly, that's the only way you can make things right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an interesting exercise. I mean, if you want to try to convince yourself they can do it, I was just looking. There's different lists of sort of returning production when you look at returning starters, transfer portal production, et cetera. Nebraska's kind of in the top 10 or 15 on those lists. There's probably one that's definitive. And then I just saw our friends over at the Big Ten Huddle. Where is that? I sent that to myself. Here it is. And this is Nebraska's number 2 in the conference in career offensive line snaps. So career offensive line snaps. Yeah. For every Big Ten team in 2026. UCLA is actually number 1. That's kind of shocking. Nebraska's number 2. So UCLA is at 8,733. Nebraska's at 8,670. And then the next one on the list is Indiana. They're at 8,082. So Nebraska's at almost 600 more than Indiana. And then everyone else on the list is below 6,300 or below 6,300. So Nebraska kind of far and away on top of that list, which I really like. You've got a veteran core. We talked about this, you know, like you've got some pieces that it, we did a whole episode on it, on this, that if they hit, will at, by, you know, at the end of the season will be the explanation for why Matt Rhule found his groove in 2026. I think Tony Calandria and the offensive line are at the top of that list. The defense has to find something, right?
Yeah,
I think the defensive line, if you want to talk about question marks, there's no guarantee that the special teams will be good again, right? Like, and then the defensive line. To me, those two are the biggest question marks. And so can the defense find something where they can get off the field on third down? They can make stops consistently enough. Hell, if they excel, then we'll all be dancing in the streets. But can they at least find something where they're getting, like, getting to the quarterback, getting off the field on third down? And not, I mean, just not completely wearing down by the end of the season where you get on a field, like we've talked about this, you get on a field with a Penn State or an Iowa and we look completely outclassed and outmatched.
Yeah.
Look, Penn State's probably got better athletes. Yeah, they had a lot going on last season and it was a disappointing season. They fired James Franklin, for crying out loud. It was a mess. But they've got 4- and 5-star Penn Same State players. Level athletes, yep. Right?
Yeah.
There's no reason we should be pushed around and have be run all over the field against Iowa, right? You like that's a coaching thing. You've got to be able to scheme up and have a it's a culture thing, it's a coaching thing, it's all those things. So can they figure, can Rob Orish figure something out with the defense to where it's good enough? And can the offense be to a place where they carry the team this year?
Yeah.
That might have to be
the bar is not that damn high. Like the run defense can't get much worse. You know what I mean? Yeah, like right. So I mean, if you're looking for things to give you more hope, to get you more excited about Nebraska football, that's one thing to think about is it, from the run defense that we've seen over the years, it can't get much damn worse than it was last year.
Right.
So you get a little bit better on the run D, maybe we get to the quarterback. Yeah, I don't know, but it's they got to figure something out on the defensive side.
Beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. We keep saying this, but if you want to have a Hoiberg season, beat a ranked team for Pete's sake. Give us
you
one
know what,
upset, for the love of God. Just
you know
one.
What it takes sometimes to
actually,
beat
don't,
one of those,
don't do that,
one of those teams? You
yeah,
know what it
yeah,
takes?
Jeff, opposite. Yeah.
Don't do that.
You know what it takes sometimes?
What?
One a guy on your team to just say, you know what? I'm gonna make a play today. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do something today. That your new friend Fernando Mendoza in the national title game. Play yeah. breaks down, guy scrambles, dives in, historic, awesome touchdown, right? Tony C.
On fourth down.
We'll see if old Tony C, blonde hair, good looks, probably surfer. We don't know if he surfs or not, but he looks like he could be. He's got secret handshakes with all of his teammates already.
Oh, really?
Bunch of swagger.
How do you know that?
It all comes back to Tony C for Matty O.
We'll see.
Matty O's got. How does Catherine feel about your Tony Calandria poster in your bedroom?
She's not worried yet. She's okay. not worried All yet.
Right. Okay, good.
It's a little bit odd, you know, 43-year-old man, happily married with 4 children, a little got his, you know, man crush, but no, I obviously we're joking. But
do you
I love curious. The confidence. I love a quarterback that appears to have real, genuine confidence. Not this manufactured stuff or trying to look cool for the gram Rayola. with his cool haircut and copying Patrick Mahomes. No, I feel like this is like some real experience and swagger, and I'm excited to see what it can do behind that experienced offensive line.
I'm just curious. Well, you're in the bathroom in the morning getting ready for work. Do you have a Tony Calandria poster above your door as you walk out, and then you hit it and you say, like, let's play like a champion today or something like that?
Yep. Don't steal that. Don't, no.
Do you
no.
have a, are you that's, recording me? So that's my home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see Matt.
You didn't see the naked karate that I do every morning. That's good.
Catherine, I got you this Tony Calandria jersey. Can you try it on real quick?
Oh, good Lord. This has gone way off the rails.
We have derailed.
Started as like a ha-ha. Owens is like Michael Scott with Ryan in the office. Yeah. Now we're talking about posters in the room. It's maybe going too far.
We have derailed.
We want to keep All the right. joke going. It's got to be more subtle.
And to pull it back on the Pull it back on the road.
All right.
So, last thing, guys. Fred's boys. Thursday morning in Oklahoma City against Troy. Tip off at 11:40.
Central time.
11:40 Central time. Go Big Red. Let's get that NCAA tournament monkey off our back. Let's get to the Sweet 16. And then we're playing with house money. Quick question, just because we're Nebraska fans and we can never be happy about anything. Will it be considered a failure if we only win one game in the NCAA tournament? I think if we get to the Sweet 16, no matter what happens after that, it's unequivocally a massive success. And Husker fans get to be excited going into the second weekend of March Madness, playing for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. That's unequivocally a success. I think some Husker fans will be upset and disappointed if we only win one game.
That's ridiculous.
That's the negative football fans that are sweeping into basketball. No, they are separate. To me.
Win the game. That's it. One.
If we beat Troy on Thursday and then turn around on Saturday and lose to 5-seed Vanderbilt, I'm going to be like, that's disappointing, but we got the monkey off our back.
Exactly right.
And there is national college basketball media all know about this fact that we're the only Power 5 team to have not won an NCAA tournament game. Like even Seth Davis on Sunday, they were talking about the whole region, the whole South region. Who do you like? And he just goes, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be biased, but I'm rooting for Nebraska. He said, and I quote, I don't think I can emotionally handle a loss. Like this is a national college basketball analyst. Like that's where it's at. The whole country, if they watch college basketball at this point, knows we've never won a tournament game.
Right.
So we have to win on Thursday. We have to win. Yeah. And then beyond that, I say, who cares? Get the monkey off the back. If we make it,
you got to win that first game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Anything after that is fine.
I agree with you guys, but I think there'll be a lot of fans who are like, oh, we weren't as good as we thought we were. Super disappointing. Blah, blah, blah. To me, this whole season has been a game changer for the program. Not just because of the national notoriety. Obviously, I mean, that's an obvious statement. It's the best season in Nebraska basketball history. But I think it's also like, we can believe now that Fred has figured out a formula and knows how to recruit to that formula. So maybe we're not in the top 10 every year, but we can believe now and we can hope and expect, dare I say expect, that maybe we can be in the top 25 for good chunks of the season. We can go to the tournament regularly. Fred's a young man. He just got an extension to 2032. Like Nebraska basketball can be a thing. It can be fun. Just like, you know, some of these newbies in college football, I mean, Indiana's the obvious example and they won it all, but like, it's a brave new world out there. So like, to me, that's the bigger thing is like, you've got a whole new wipe the slate clean. We got to get the win on Thursday. We've got to get the win on Thursday. After that, you're playing with house money and let's make a deep run. Yes, that'd be fun. But either way, let's wipe the slate clean. And we're going to be looking forward to basketball season from now on.
Oh,
as long as Fred's there, you know? Yeah. So that's what's exciting to me. And of course, because we're Nebraska fans, like they'll probably go like 5-25 next year. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, God dang it, TJ. That's the football.
I'm kidding.
Your football fan mentality has been so poisoned. And it's been poisoning this back half of the basketball. Like the people who they just don't have the confidence in the fire that they had in the first 20 games. Look at the schedule. Literally, like Purdue, Michigan, like some of these teams that we've played this back half of the season is like, oh my God. And, you know, it does make it exciting moving forward. And the other thing is, like, the Big Ten basketball is so tough. You just got to finish the top half of the conference and you're in the tournament.
Well, sure. I mean, to your point, Matteo, it's not even losses. It's like, they beat someone by 20, but they were only up by 2 at the half, and everybody's mad.
Oh, you know? God. I know. Get out of here.
But it is, you are right. It's the footballization of fandom, and it applies beyond just Nebraska, I think. Like, I notice it with, like, baseball is so random, and they play 162 games a year, and the worst team is going to beat the best team sometimes, which really doesn't always happen in basketball or football. It's just, that's the way it goes in baseball. And I know, like, you notice it on Twitter. I mean, Cubs fan Twitter is kind of insane, like Nebraska fan Twitter. And people, like, just melt down and lose their minds if they lose to a team they were supposed to beat. And it's sort of like, basketball is definitely, like, football, usually the bigger, faster, stronger, better talent, more talented team is going to win. Over four quarters.
More often than not.
Over four quarters, the better team is going to win. Mm-hmm. basketball, that doesn't always happen.
Good teams drop games, man.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like, just like, I know I don't have to say this to the three of us, but man, if you haven't enjoyed this run by Nebraska basketball, then try to enjoy what's left of it, because I feel really bad for you if you haven't been able to enjoy this historic season.
So. Agreed. Well put.
All right, Common Fans.
I also want to say the fact that they're playing, I think maybe the second game. I think there's usually like a game 11:15 on Thursday, the first day of the real tournament, like playing games tonight and tomorrow, all that. But I think that's kind of cool too. Like, I don't like, so many people are going to be watching that. I know you think like, okay, 11:40 on a work day. No, everyone is going to be have like the boss button thing on. I don't know if that's still a thing, like at work, watching the games in secret. You know, there's going to be a lot of people tuned in. I don't care what anyone else says. Like, when the tournament just starts, like, oh, I got to turn it on. I just want to see it with my own eyes that the tournament has started. And we got Brandon Godden, Chris Weber, and I can't remember who else on the call. So it's just so fun.
Chris Weber, the former Michigan player?
Yeah. NBA. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of like being in school and you'd have like the cool teacher who'd, and it's somebody
wheel in the audio visual,
the TV on the cart that would like, they had the cool teacher.
Yes.
TJ for us, I think maybe it was
Mr. Roeder.
St. Joe's Elementary.
Adjusting the antenna. Yeah.
And Mr. Roeder. And you know, we're already, you know, seventh grade. We already got our like a little pool going. We scraped together whatever $5 we had or whatever to throw it in the pool. It's just that, so like, good. I love this
stuff. That reminded me, and we're about at time and I've got to go, but that reminded me, the other thing we didn't mention, go to the Common Fan Twitter account and find the video that we posted. A video surfaced over the weekend. We posted it on Twitter. It's about 25 minutes long. It's 25 years old, but it's from us when we were in high school, from 2001. There's a halftime performance featuring Matteo and Geoff. And then there's pretty much all of a second half of Pius playing Lincoln Southeast. And I miss a free throw in the video. I was on the Pius team, but we were playing against a team that included Jake Muehlheisen, Barrett Rood, Nick Baugh, and I think Alex Gordon off the bench. Yeah. So you got a multiple time Gold Glove Award winner in Alex Gordon. You got a 8, 9, 10 year NFL vet in Barrett Rood. You've got two like high performing Division I college basketball players in Nick Baugh and Jake Muehlheisen. That team was absolutely stacked. They still didn't win state, by the way, neither here nor there. But
all of them, including yourself, were lucky enough to share the court with me and Matt.
Exactly. That's damn right, Jeff.
That's damn right.
The performance of the guy, you guys did it at state as well. The guys joining the girls dancing was so dang funny. It definitely stands the test of time. And then that basketball game, I remembered we played them close for three quarters. We were within one with about 5 minutes left. Ben Schleppenbach hit a three in that video to cut it to one with five and a half minutes left. And then the wheels fall off. We lost by 10 or more. Yeah. But that was a pretty good battle against a good Southeast team.
I just always remember, like, I had this scenario. I was talking to Ashley about it the other day. Like, my dad probably was attending that game. Yeah. Rue, you got a son playing today? No, he's dancing at halftime.
He must be so proud.
All right. So find that video on the Common Fan Twitter account. It's a lot of fun. Okay, Common Fans, be kind to each other. Go Big Red on Thursday.
Nebraska ball.
We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's. Back to Lincoln.
have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.